This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
Pastor Jeff Durbin, we're talking about apologetics. Jeff, thanks for joining us.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Hey, mate, listen, one of the things that I was thinking about when we talk about apologetics, I find myself at a coffee shop and I'm chatting with some friends and I say to them, hey, listen, I'm a Christian. And oftentimes you get a response back like, well, but, you know, don't you believe in science? How do you handle that?
Well, I think one of the most important things to talk about at first is to break down and break through their misconceptions and their misunderstandings, cultural misunderstandings, maybe what they were taught is essentially their worldview and perspective. Oftentimes, people think today because of the common militant atheist, the atheistic books that are out today, that atheists believe in science and reason. Christians are sort of blind faith religionists. And really, nothing can be further than the truth. And if you do a study of history, even a cursory study of history, you'll discover that the modern science explosion really happened because of the ground that the Christian worldview provided. So institutions like Oxford, Cambridge, Yale, Harvard, these were not atheistic institutions, though they may be now. They were given to the world on a specifically and distinctly Christian worldview. So when someone says, I believe in science, I'm an atheist, you're a Christian, how do you deal with that? What I would say is, well, we're coming from two different worldviews, the Christian worldview, the atheistic worldview. My question to the atheist is, if you believe that our ancestors were fish, that we evolved in an ungoverned, unpurposed universe through highly evolved societies of bacteria, if that's what your view of origins is, and if you believe that the universe is essentially sound and fury signifying nothing, it's just stuff bobbing along the surface of the cosmos, my question to you is, how do you do science and believe in science? Because if all the physical constants, if the world the way that it is just a mess, it's just sheer accidents that have happened in the past and are happening now, then you don't have a basis for what is necessary for science, which is fundamentally the uniformity in nature. That is to say, you have to have an ability to justify, have a reason why you believe the future will be like the past, because everything you do that's observational or scientific has to have a uniform universe. And you can't just take it for granted and say, well, it's just that way. Isn't it amazing? The atheist says, well, it's just that way. That's just the way that it is. Sounds very much like the position of faith that they're actually trying to take down. It's just that way. I don't know how I'm doing it or really why I'm doing it. I don't really understand how I can justify the future being like the past. But goodness gracious, I need science. I need medicine. I need to fly in airplanes. I need to drive in cars. I really need these things. But I don't really have a reason to justify it. Sounds like they live by faith. Now, the Christian does have a faith commitment, but it's a different kind of faith commitment. It's not a blind faith. It's actually a faith in a person. It's faith in a God who's actually revealed himself in time and in history, in space. He's actually told us about himself. He's revealed himself so we can have certainty when we make these claims. God has actually told us that he holds the universe together. Yeah. He upholds it by the word of his power, and he governs it, and he will bring it along to its intended destination. This is why it was the biblical worldview in Christianity that gave a basis and a reason for modern science.
Yeah.
And so the atheist has faith commitments. He believes the future will be like the past and science is possible because it always was that way before, but that's blind faith. He doesn't know the future will be like the past, and he doesn't have a basis for science.
So oftentimes when you go to that level, people come back and say, well, listen, what I believe is true for me, and what you believe is true for you, and you shouldn't impose your position on me. I mean, how do you respond to that kind of call?
It's impossible.
Yeah.
Somebody is always imposing
a
morality. Somebody is always imposing a truth claim. Somebody is always imposing. It's not a question of whether somebody will impose, but who?
Yeah.
It's not a question of whether somebody's going to impose a morality, but which one? It's not a question of whether there's going to be a God over our system. It's which God. So there's always a God. There's always an ultimate authority in every system, always. For some people, it's in America. I said this during my lecture. It's Demos. It's the people. We're the ultimate authority. Some people, it's government. Government is God. They have the ultimate say, the ultimate authority. And some, for Christians, it's God. He's the ultimate authority. So when someone says to me, well, that's your truth, but not my truth. Don't impose your morality. I would say, do you feel that way about the child molester?
Yeah.
It's a big one.
Yeah.
It's a hard one.
Yeah.
But that's where the wheels come off that claim. Mm. Because if the person says, well, that's my truth, your truth, and so don't impose your position on anybody, I would say, where do you put thieves? Mm. Where do you put murderers? So we all recognize that the claim, don't impose your morality, is actually pretty fallacious and childish. Everybody realizes that it's not possible. What someone tends to mean, generally means, when they say, don't impose your position on me, is that they don't want to hear it. Mm. They don't like your position. But in reality, and if you look around you in society, there is always a morality being imposed.
Yeah.
Look in my nation, just over the last couple of years, how much has flipped in terms of our view of gender and marriage, those sorts of things. And so somebody's imposing a morality because somebody says, no, not that. And somebody else says, no, yes, this. And it's a question of what is objectively true. And what we say as Christians is that Christ is the truth. And God's revelation shows to us from God's own self-disclosure what is right, what is beautiful, what is true, what is good.
Now, Jeff, you got some incredible resources online, on YouTube and a bunch of other places. If people want to come along and get better equipped and see some of the stuff that you do, where are they going to head to?
ApologiaRadio.com, ApologiaRadio.com is the best place to get hooked up with our All Access. You get all of our TV shows, our Academy. And we can learn all about the biblical worldview and apologetics, and you can get just our after shows and every other thing we do, and our radio show. So that would probably be the one-stop shop. You can also go to YouTube and go to Apologia Studios on YouTube, and we have hundreds of videos, I think, with millions and millions of views and just a lot of really interesting and fun content, too.
Awesome. Hey, Jeff, thanks for joining us today.
My pleasure.